You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Excuse me, sir. You Dr. Harry Van der Spiegel?
What can I help you with?
We had ourselves a murder in town last night. You're a doctor. We need you to come down and take a look at the body. Doctor?
This is awesome. A good mystery, figuring out what happened. Like Law and Order. Kung Kung.
All right, look, that's one creepy son of a bitch. Y'all see that, right?
I have to prove I fit in, that I'm normal like them.
What the hell?
There's something wrong with that man.
Who even are you, Harry Van der Spiegel?
Just a normal human.
This town looks like a slice of Americana, but trust me, it has an underbelly.
My son told me you're an alien.
Well, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm not an alien. Thank you for coming over.
There is a killer out there.
I can help. I'm a good doctor. I'm never wrong.
We strongly believe the body washed up on the beach.
How do you know that?
Because I can feel it in my balls.
Well, and I checked the currents. So the currents and the sheriff's balls.
Welcome to our local, interstate, and international aliens to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Especially anyone who are awaiting their permanent residency aliens. I mean, we welcome you all. It's very important that we say that.
We take the huddled masses, what's the rest of the saying?
I have no idea. It's written on a big book on the inside of like some lady's hands. She's holding a torch. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Give us your poor, your bribery scandals, your... Oh.
Pretty sure that's not how it goes, but that's fine.
Oh, it's been updated for the modern era.
Anyway, okay, good.
Hello.
Hi.
How is everyone
Welcome
tonight?
To the Periodic Table of Awesome.
That's us.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Quinny. I'm a president alien, not necessarily resident. President.
President.
A what? Mm. A president alien. Well then,
I look at Peter and she's like,
I'm. Well then, if you get to be president alien, I get to be state undersecretary alien. Dion, and excited to finally combine my two loves, which is Alan Tudyk and science fiction.
Because they've never met before.
No. I've never seen the two in the same room. I don't believe they're the same person. Who's Alan Tudyk? Well, I mean, you know, I can go into Alan Tudyk, but we'll get there later.
Can you?
Yes.
How does he feel about this?
Well, if you watch 28 Days Later... Oh, sorry, 28 Days, not 28 Days Later. That's a separate film. Anyway, Sandra Bullock's 28 Days is where I first saw Alan Tudyk, and that's when I've always enjoyed him and his package.
What?
Go watch 28 Days, mate, and then it will make sense to you. Anyway, I'm done. Moving on.
Who are one of you people?
Well,
you pointed down. There's no one below you, Quinny. There's no one below
today.
You. Where are you? You don't even know where you are.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, up and to your right. There we go. Above you and to your right. Yeah, you did the right thing. It's good. Good. We're good.
This person is Peter because I'm a lost alien at the moment. I'm not quite sure.
The only real person on this podcast is Peter.
Yeah, you're the only actual human. The rest of us, weirdos and aliens.
Yep.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm in a state of alienation at all times.
Oh, I loved Alienation. That's a great film, and it stars Mandy Patinkin.
And a good TV series. We should totally talk about Alienation. Yeah.
Alienation. Yeah.
Do you remember? Do any of you guys remember Alienation? I know Dion does because he's old like me.
Yes. You don't know Alienation? Alienation is amazing because it's a bunch of aliens. It's kind of like, okay, do you remember District 9? Okay, imagine if it was District 9 but set in Los Angeles and the aliens weren't like prawn-looking things. Sorry if that's speciesist. But they were just kind of like egg-headed
people who were still aliens. Anyway, they got drunk on milk. It was great.
Drunk on milk, and they had a terrible aversion to salt water. It was like acid to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Earth, not exactly a particularly friendly place for them.
No, not when it's like 75% of the Earth is covered in salt water. So.
But essentially, it was a story about refugees, and it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting films, tedious TV series.
Also, I love, anyway. I love that the chat's going off. Hello, people in the chat today. This is just, I can't even keep up. It's too much. There's too much information. Let me
very
sum up.
Exciting.
You're all talking blood, to each yes. other. Yes, Mandy Patinkin. That's the thing. Alien Nation has Mandy Patinkin in it. So it's good. Yeah.
So it's Criminal Minds.
Yeah, criminal. So does the Princess Bride, and that's got nothing to do with this. It's just a really good film, and you should watch it.
Remember that time you totally got confused about who Mandy Patinkin was?
Shut the fuck up.
And you were adamant that it was not Mandy. It's like, it's Mandy Patinkin. It's like, no, it's not. It's another angle. Like, okay.
It was... I got him confused with Michael Richards, as in, you know, the guy from Seinfeld who turned out to be a racist. It was a pub trivia. We were all very drunk. You just shut up about that. You were wrong. It was the wrong Google image search. Anyway, let's talk about Resident Alien, which is the TV show.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, we are talking about the new series that has started on Sci-Fi Channel, or SIFI.
Fuck, that's the stupidest logo change I've ever seen.
So... seven years ago, something like that. They were well known around the globe as the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
Yep.
And then they felt the need to rebrand and become Sci-Fi with SYFY.
Yes, people couldn't understand it too much unless it says Sci-Fi.
It's because Sci-Fi isn't a common term that is used or heard ever.
No.
Very
no.
niche.
Yeah, they thought that 2009, after having established it for 7 years of being sci-fi and actually having sci-fi as an established sci-fi brand, they thought, people aren't getting it.
Let's rebrand.
So let's move further away from what the actual word means.
Also, I'm pretty sure it was somewhere around there that they started focusing really heavily on wrestling.
Oh.
Go figure.
Is that the weird...
there's already dedicated channels for wrestling.
Yes.
Is that the weird network shit that happens when you cross, you do stuff and suddenly on National Geographic there's like Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah.
And you start going, what fuck are you doing?
Whoa.
It's technically documentary.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was like a TLC thing though.
Yeah.
That American channel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
The one that was filled with terrible reality TV shows. Like
that's the one.
All reality TV is terrible. Except for Lego Masters. That's actually fun.
Yeah. I was just about to say, except Lego Masters.
And maybe the occasional
Who's
other
directed
one.
Directed by our friend Ben. Hi, Ben.
I was going to say, shout out to Shackers. Shackers is a busy man who's working on Big Brother, if memory serves.
Oh, no, which it's all
is
try and call Lego Masters reality, though.
No.
Lego Masters is just... Let's not go there.
Yeah. Anyway, so we should probably talk about the fucking thing that we're talking about. Anyway. So what is Resident Alien? I'm going to read a synopsis because I can.
Thanks.
An alien spacecraft is struck by lightning and crash lands near the rural town of Patience, Colorado. Its pilot, Ha Ray, was on a mission to wipe out human life on Earth. Now stranded, he must blend in by assuming human form and the identity of a doctor, Harry Vanderspiegel. And that is one of the many synopsises for Resident Alien.
Right. So you didn't want to go with the other one that we had there, which was like... After the events of season one of Firefly...
This documentary looks at the unconventional life of British writer and actor Quentin Crisp. An outwardly flamboyant gay man, Crisp endured many indignities in his youth in London. Yes. So there is actually a documentary from 1990, not to be confused with this one, called Resident Alien.
Quentin
Crisp. Seems like contextually it would be tough to confuse them, but
you'd think so. But here we are.
Chameleonic actor and gadabout town Alan Tudyk could do a pretty good Quentin Crisp. Let's be honest. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely, no doubt. And yes, yes, I will always do the stupid voice for the synopsis. That is, that is
it's a requisite. Rule.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. And that was an in-joke for people who've seen the show.
I mean, is this the perfect role for Alan Tudyk?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the show was written.
Yeah, okay, Quinny, oh, well the done, visual Quinny. Gag.
Visual gag. That's, yep. That's one for the stream only. Sorry, yeah. Podcast listeners.
Sorry. It's okay, you can all watch it on YouTube. Dun dun.
Yeah, dun dun. It's a good one.
So yeah, I feel like somebody came up with this entire concept with Alan Tudyk in mind. I can't imagine anyone else playing this role but Alan Tudyk.
And yet, this was actually based on a comic book. And I had no idea until I started going looking for some graphics to do the promotion stuff. I was like, hang on, there's a whole bunch of artwork that looks nothing like that. So one of the things I do love about the series is the opening of each episode is the artwork that is done like a plane, you know, the safety briefing yes. cards. Yeah. So, and it's like an alien doing something terrible, but drawn in that safety briefing card style. And it's like, no, no, do not lift the dead body this way. It will break your back. You have to lift with your knees. yes. But I was looking for that kind of stuff, couldn't find any, and then suddenly found an entire comic book that this TV series is actually based on. And it was created by Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse. And it was put out by Dark Horse Comics. Since 2012.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. It's the story about an alien who crash lands on Earth and then poses a doctor as he awaits his rescue. So yeah. Basically exactly the same, but completely different.
A little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Same, but different.
They're going to move things in for TV. You got to be able to get all your, you know, tick all the boxes that you need.
Mm.
Yeah,
but yes, enough. You're right, Pete. When you do look at it, it does kind of look like this was made entirely for Alan Tudyk and his particular weird style of doing things.
Hard not to love him in pretty much anything and everything, but this is a particularly fun thing for him to play with.
It is, and it's playing to his strengths in such a way because he is somebody who you always, when you look at him, you do kind of think, you're not quite here, are you?
Well, this is part of his whole thing. Like, he never really seems comfortable on screen as a regular person. So why not just play him as someone who isn't a regular person and, you know, let him go a bit loose with it, especially because the writing's so good about it too. It's like, yeah, when you turn up to set, it's like, Alan, just act like you're not comfortable with anything and we'll go from there. Like, this is the first time you've ever seen a dead body. Go for it.
Okay.
After binge-watching Law and Order for however long he was learning to be a human.
Well, that is the way that you teach yourself how to do that. I mean, and that has to be one of the funniest, like, scenes of like in the first couple of episodes of him, of watching him try and teach himself how to be human after he ends up becoming human, which is a whole thing. But yes, that's very funny.
I remember watching the first trailers for this and I actually thought that they gave a very, not a different impression. Like, I mean, essentially what you see in the trailers and what you saw in the trailer at the start of this is kind of what you get. But I definitely had a very different expectation of what was going to be this show. For a start, I figured it was probably going to be like a half hour sitcom style thing.
Mm.
I was really expecting it to be that kind of short form, very simple gags and not much kind of as an overarching plot. And that's not what we got.
No, and there's I think that's, you know, I haven't decided yet whether I like it or dislike it because I can't decide or it can't decide if it's a comedy or a like fish out of warmer water in a small town drama or a crime procedural, or all three of those things. And I'm not sure if those elements are really balancing for me yet.
No.
But I like I know where what they you go. Mean. I think
sorry, you know what it oh sorry go on Dean.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I like that I don't know what it actually wants to be yet, because it makes sense to me with what this alien is doing. Is it a comedy? Is it serious? Is it a shock comedy? We don't know, because something weird will happen and then you're like, okay, that's just not right. Like, I love that they've kind of not defined what kind of show they are.
Yeah, I was going to say it reminds me a lot of the same formula from Sleepy Hollow, if anybody saw that TV series from a few years back. Same thing, fish out of water, police procedural, not sure if it's actually a comedy or a drama, but yeah, it's along those same lines. I still kind of find it interesting and I can get in with it.
Hmm. Sorry, there have been a couple of great points brought up in the chat. No, we didn't see a con man lunchbox. That's amazing. But Panda brought up that it's a live-action version of Invader Zim, and that's what I was expecting it to be. Like, because even in the trailer, there's a bit of a hint that he's actually here to destroy the world. So I kind of thought it was going to be a little bit more kind of Invader Zim of like, I'm here to destroy the world and kill everybody and... Mm. Then I have to keep a facade up. But it's a little bit more humane than that. There's a little bit more about him learning to be a person. And I mean,
or more about humans infecting him, or humanity infecting him as he has taken the shape of a human to go on. And yes, I also have all seen Con Man? Because this is also one of the very important things that Shakur. Who's seen Con Man?
Yes.
You guys have seen
it. Sorry, I'm putting my hand told up. I've been busy.
And for those out there who don't know, seek out Con Man. It's really good and funny because Alan Tudyk wrote a online only. I think it started on YouTube, or it went somewhere. Like, it started for free for the first season, and then you had to, you know, subscribe to it for the second season. But Con Man is about him, his stories from conventions just made into a television show. And it's hilarious. And of course, because Alan's on everything, he also did a guest spot on Justified, another show that I have watched. But he's credited as Ray Neely, which is his character from Con Man. So instead of himself, and it's actually just kind of like, that's mwah. So when you're talking about things like a Con Man lunchbox, in this show,
yeah,
you're like, oh, he's so self-aware now that he will put his own stuff in stuff, and if I don't get to see a chicken in Resident Alien, yeah, well, you know, what's his alien name?
Harry. So it's Harry.
yeah, but it's also kind of almost hey.
Anyway, yeah,
that's
yeah.
enough about my.
I enjoy when he did the voice of the chicken in Moana. There's a beautiful interview that he does somewhere where he's just like, "What was it? I went to Juilliard and I'm doing the voice of a chicken." And in this one, what was it you said to me this afternoon, Dion?
Yeah, that was the one. Like, he's kind of. Well, no, I don't want to give away too much. There is a moment
with a cow.
With a cow. Where you kind of go, there must have been a thing like, we want you to do this. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. You can animate it.
I
went to Juilliard. I'm not putting my, I'm not doing that on camera.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just want to go back to that point about his alien tendencies and his human tendencies and the way that they're kind of fighting each other at the moment in the show. I'm not quite sure if it's working for me. Like, it feels like he's definitely being sent there on a mission to destroy humanity. And it feels like it's the show is setting it up for, oh, okay, but like the humans that he meets is going to change his mind and, you know, he'll want to save them all. But I don't feel like there's that inner dialogue with himself yet that, oh, maybe I do want to save them, is not really translating well in the term of I really want to destroy all of them.
I feel like we're only three eps in And yeah. that maybe that's a series arc, because we are, I think, getting a lot of inner dialogue of, you know,
I would have felt some emotional that there would things be happening. A bit more dichotomy to begin with. So you can see that change.
I think there's probably a lot. Yeah. So we got a lot I want to say about that, but I don't want to get into too much detail.
Okay.
Just at least not at, at least not at this stage.
Not this junket. How are you feeling about it though? Do you think it has enough production value? Do you think sci-fi is doing a good job with it? Do you think you're believing the alienness of the alien representation? Because I am. I love the design.
It hard to believe that this is a web series. Like, it's that's where you're finding it and that's where you're streaming it from, a website. And to me, this is like screaming network TV.
Well, I mean, in the US, Sci-Fi Channel is network TV. Like, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, here in Australia, yeah, to go hunting for it, you'll have to find it on a website. But in the US, there is Sci-Fi Channel.
Ah.
And usually that gets picked up down the track by Foxtel here in Australia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh, well.
I mean, here in Australia, you the only way you can watch it is if you're in America. So
yes.
Keep that in mind.
Not.
Look, I'm finding I'm enjoying the rest of the cast as well. I know we've just talked a lot about Alan because, you know, it is
he
the
is
role.
He is the linchpin.
I do like a small town fish out of water drama, and I'm enjoying most of the other characters. I'm finding the sheriff maybe a little.
Yeah, he's the weirdest one, but I love the fact that he's there to be a dickhead. And
it's a little bit one-dimensional for me, and it's a little bit. That's the one thing that kind of feels out of place, like it's not.
But
been
I
super
love
thought through.
Deputy Sheriff Liv Baker is a great.
She's
aside
amazing
to him. Like, he is a big idiot dickhead and she's just the one going, yeah, anyway, so I know that there's this idiot sheriff, but I've done the work, which is kind of funny. Terrifyingly sad, like, because you're like, for fuck's sake, just make her the sheriff. But, like, you know, you've got to have the asshole in order to have a foil.
I'm actually enjoying how unusual a lot of the relationships are within the town. So there's Asta 12 Trees, who is Harry's nurse, offsider, friend, who is also the person who was working for the original doctor in the town who dies in the first episode. She's sort of friends with, is it Lisa? The bartender?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Lisa is one of the most bizarre characters in the entire fucking show, and I'm all here for her.
Yeah, she's great because it's like small town old frenemies. That's what they are. Yeah. They're rivals and friends and enemies, and that's the whole kind of point. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And as Amy says in the chat, you know, that conversation in the bowling alley is actually really great, where it's like, what about that, you slut? What about this, you bitch? Oh, yeah, let's go.
I mean, there's a little bit more nuance to it than that, but
yeah, there was.
I might have to watch it.
Hi, I'll be your reductionist man for today.
Yes, welcome to the periodic table, the broad strokes of many, many.
As Rob said, yeah, it's a little Twin Peaks and a little Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure. God, I love that show.
Yeah. And I think it's an interesting choice that where they have set it, in that little sort of town in the middle of nowhere kind of thing, because you can get away with a lot more. A lot of the original comic was seemingly set, I mean, there are whole swathes that were set in New York and like other weird places. So it's not as tied to the one small town, which I thought was interesting. So, yeah, I like the other characters. I think they're fun. Where do we think we're going with Asta?
I think she's definitely the linchpin for Harry realizing that he doesn't want to destroy humanity. She's going to be the one that, you know, changes his mind about humans.
Right.
But also it's starting to kind of feel like in episode three that Asta kind of has her own shit going on, which I kind of like, you know, that it doesn't feel like she's just going to be a counterpoint to Harry's view of humanity. She's actually got her own life and her own story that's beginning to unfold. Yeah. So I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to how that unfolds. I mean, we're three episodes into what looks like a 10-episode season. And they're 45, 50-minute episodes, so they're substantial. How did we play that? Did we feel like they were a bit long, or did it feel right for the content?
I like the length of them in the sense that it always made me want to know a little bit more because it kept changing so much you didn't know what it was because it wasn't a set procedural thing or a set comedy. Like, you're kind of always waiting for it. And I think I like watching, you know, Harry Vanderspiel's, you know, interactions with people in the town is the most interesting thing. And he can jump around that town. And that's why I kind of liked it. So I'm enjoying the kind of length and the weirdness of it because I don't know what's coming next. Like, which townsperson is he going to interact with next week? Because he is the town doctor and he's always got the fallback of you know, Asta looking for her father figure. A new surrogate father figure, Lisa looking for a new date and feeding whiskey. You know,
sorry, and it's Darcy, not Lisa. My bad,
Darcy.
How do we feel about the Max storyline? The kid.
I love him. And I love him. Right. I love how mean and malevolent that they are. As he realizes he has a foil now, someone who can see through his disguise. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Spoilers. You know what? That's probably a good moment. It feels like there's a lot more we can discuss, but I mean, there's only three episodes. We can't spoil it that much, but let's abundance of caution, right? If you want to.
I'm just going
to
say.
Those people who.
Yeah?
Hmm? You go. Sorry, Dan.
Oh, no. I was just going to say if we're going to go, are we going to go to a clip? Is that where you want to go?
No, we're going to rate it. We're going to go to, you know, that thing that we've done for 204 episodes.
I retract my statement, Your Honor. Carry on.
Yeah, I think it does make sense for us to kind of go into the spoilery stuff because there is a lot in the episodes. And as people have said there, well-oiled machine. I personally, when I first started watching, thought it was, I wasn't expecting 45-minute eps.
I was expecting 20-minute ones.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And when I realized that they were full episodes, I kind of had to rethink what the series actually was because I realized that it's actually... it's more of a character exploration. It's not just a comedy show. It's actually, I think you called it a soap opera a little bit, Dee, earlier today. Yes. And he's not saying much, so I don't know whether he's turned his mic off.
No, I'm right here.
Yep.
I'm listening to you. You're making valid points and I'm paying attention.
No, but yeah, I think that, yeah, there was a certain element of, if not soap opera, long format drama. This is dramedy as opposed to comedy.
Yeah.
So what do you rate it then?
I love a dramedy.
Yeah.
I love a dramedy, but I feel like I'm interested enough to want to watch more.
Yeah,
but I'm not running around telling everyone I know to watch it yet. Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like it's sitting at around 70 for me.
That's no Ted Lasso.
Well,
it's, what he is.
It's no Ted Lasso in the first three yets, but, you know, not everything can be Ted Lasso. I feel like it's really got potential to do more for me in 10 episodes and that it's unfair to judge this kind of format on what is essentially the first act portion of a 10-episode series. But based on three episodes, that's how I feel. So there.
Excellent. Next.
Well, that is the end of my rating.
I am also going to give it 70 because I feel similarly to Peter. I think that the content is great in the show, but it's not feeling to me like something I'm hanging on to watch week to week. So I think I might just wait until the whole series is out and then watch it all at once because I'm going to forget about it, honestly, which is sad because if it was more accessible here in Australia, if it was on another streaming service, if it was on Foxtel, which I steal from my parents, then I would watch it week to week. But because I'm going to have to log into a website with a VPN to watch it, I don't have the energy for that right now.
Sure. And you'd rather just punch it all at once. Just want to get
just want to get
the whole thing all
just log on up. One time and watch the whole thing.
Sure.
It's too tedious for me to do it weekly.
Understood. Fair enough. Dion, do you have a rating number?
I probably give it 7 creps out of 19 kerflops. mainly that's my I probably give it I'm vacillating between 75 and 80 and I'm not quite sure which one because I actually do have these lovely things where I'm like, oh, it's so well acted and he's cast well and it's good, but also sometimes it just dips a little bit and I'm like, nee. And yeah, I want to watch the whole thing all at once and it's hard to access and there are other things out there. This one I think would have benefited greatly from releasing the whole thing at once onto a streaming platform and then people could have enjoyed it. Where I think, this isn't sort of something that I'm like, I must mark that in my calendar for it is a new day of lots of Resident Alien, you know.
It doesn't have that appointment TV thing.
Yeah.
That you're going, ah, shit, right, this comes out on a Thursday, I've got to go back and be ready for it.
It's no WandaVision night.
Yeah. No. Sorry, what was your actual rating, Dion?
Vacillating between 75 and 80.
You've got to pick one, mate.
77 it is.
Yes.
77 it is.
Damn it, that's about where I would have gone. I'm going to go 76, trombone, let the big parade. Because it's good-ish. It's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments of kind of mystery and there are like there is a fun bit in one of the episodes where this hiker, you know, gets caught in a weird field thing and you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. And there's enough things to keep you coming back. But as people have said in the chat and as I think we're all sort of saying, there's nothing that goes, oh, shit, I've got to get you back. You know, I've got to come back and watch that next episode. I mean, we'll talk about what happens at the end of the third episode in a minute.
I was going to say that's the exception, but it's still not enough to get me to come back weekly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm a 77. I'm a 76. And Amiable has said that she is a 77. I'm just writing these down because we do put all of your ratings onto the website. So our review is a conglomerate of all of your reviews. So if you really like it, rate it at 100 and it'll fuck up our curve entirely.
Yeah.
Bell curve. Bell curve. Bell curve.
Ah, Quinny inviting chaos.
Yeah. Go on. I dare you.
Only if we get
that's
a few,
me. I'm an agent of chaos. And what's more, I have my own internal monologue that's Alan Tudyk. See, if this had been an internal monologue by Alan Tudyk, Alan Rickman, fuck me.
What about Alan Tudyckman?
All of the Alan.
Alan Tudyckman.
Can you do an Alan Carr voice?
No, that's Jimmy Carr, sorry.
Ha, 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 ha. Alan
Carr. Almighty.
Just
drifted again, guys.
Yes, I know. Hey, we should totally go to a clip and come back and talk spoilers about all this stuff.
Speaking of clips.
Drop an F for Rickman in the chat.
And drifting. Let's go have a look at a clip. As an alien, when you're stuck on a planet and you don't know when people are telling you about things, what do? You Google shit.
Yes.
Douche. Bag. A small syringe for douching the vagina. Images. What the hell?
Ah, yes, the vagina.
Technical term.
Oh, just one of many times that you're watching, just watching Alan on screen.
Yeah, we're looking up a head, what is it, circumcision? Just like, yeah.
And I think that's the loveliest thing about it. I mean, you know, it has all of the, like, the funny things. It's like, oh, he's a fish out of water in the town. We got to learn about the townsfolks. You don't. You just want to watch him acting like an alien, discovering everything about Earth. Especially because he's stuck in Colorado, which is quite dull.
And also the failure to understand, you know, certain things about what's an appropriate thing to say and what's not an appropriate thing to say.
Yeah, show us that tit.
Just like, wow. Yeah. I can feel it in my taint.
Did you just take a photo of my vagina? No, it's a selfie on my first day.
She's like, okay.
Yeah, okay. I should put up the spoiler logo, shouldn't I? We're going to talk about spoilers.
Sure, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
There it is. We got it.
It's a super fun physical performance as well. He's really got the I'm operating a body that I am not usually operating kind of down. Particularly when he in that first episode where he comes across what he thinks is a dead body and then realizes isn't, and just even just the way he starts with his whole body is like. It's a bit of a giggle. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's nice.
That's the thing. He's a whole body performance.
He is a very good voiceover person. Like I find his narration could very easily fuck this show up entirely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a bad version of this narration could make this a really, really bad show. But thankfully, he's very good at it. So, yeah.
Well, and it's a, you know, it's a body that he's never used before. It's a mouth that he hasn't used before, saying words that aren't in his language, and that is exactly what the accent that he has chosen sounds like.
Yeah,
just somebody who is forcing unfamiliar body parts to make unfamiliar words. And it's you know,
laughter.
For all of the comedy of it, it is actually a fairly subtle performance compared to how it could be approached. And I think that's kind of one of the real strengths of the show, because if you took it just one step further, like if you just went a couple of millimeters more, you know, in one direction, it would make the show completely unwatchable.
Yeah, like he's convincing enough to not garner too much attention, but still like not enough for people to say, well, he's a bit weird, you know. It's a very borderline performance. He walks that line very well.
Can we talk about something that I didn't quite get? Me, and I know, you know, it's sci-fi and we suspend our disbelief and all of that. But like, okay, so he's taken on the molecular form of a human being, correct? He's not just like, he's not just manipulating perceptions. He's taken on the molecular form of a human body.
Shapeshifting is the common nomenclature.
What's that?
Shapeshifting is the common nomenclature.
So he has shapeshifted, but somehow there are a small percentage of people, even though he has physically shapeshifted, that can somehow still see his alien form.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That really kind of got me.
They have
that was hard to get on board with.
Yeah, when he looks at himself in the mirror, he sees the alien.
Those humans,
I can kind of see that, because self perception is
right
one thing.
But those humans have a special ability called the Shining.
Now, is this comic book written by Stephen King?
Sure, you know. No, I don't.
I thought it was just like in the first episode, I wasn't paying that much attention, and I thought it was just a glamour or a mirage, like Critter Kanger in the chat just suggested. But then when he starts taking on human emotions because he has taken on the molecular form, I'm like, oh no, this isn't a shapeshift thing. This is a molecular manipulation thing, because otherwise, yeah, why would he be saying, oh, changing my molecular makeup has made me feel like a human?
And also the having to learn how the muscles and everything work in the body is another part.
Which was a great scene. But yeah, and that's when that, like, just the moment where they were like, you know what, Alan, just take it all away. Just take it all away for this one scene.
Go right ahead.
I was in awe watching that. I'm like, what is the process to get into that mindset of, like, I have no idea how this works.
This is amazing physical comedy. So that broke it for me. And for that reason, the entire relationship with Max is the one thing that really isn't working for me.
I like the relationship with Max. I like that it has gone from small little boy scared of, like, terrified of an alien that only he can see, to now everyone else is accepting of the alien, because as a child you're sort of sitting there going, wait, everyone is acting normally to this alien. Now that must mean only I can see him. So in a child's brain, he's just affected that. God, now I have a nemesis. And the alien needs to maintain some form of kind of, you know, he can't just fucking eat the child or whatever he wants to, or kill it immediately. He has to keep his.
He tries.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not in front of other people. Like, you know, when he's in the doctor's surgery and he's just, you know, there being malevolent and evil and just like, I want to kill you. But also the kid knows the alien can't get him.
Like, I think it's the simplest, like, cheap version to just quickly have an antagony kind of relationship. And if maybe they'd explored the science around that a little bit more to be more convincing.
What are you looking for? This is sci-fi.
I'm kind of waiting
channel.
For them to become friends, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're totally going to. I love the like, there is a sequence, and to be honest, I think it must have been at a point fairly early on in filming, where Alan is in the full alien getup and talking to the kid on the street, and he's calling him dickhead and shithead and, you know, and hello, dickhead. And the kid's like, you can't say that. I can say anything I want, shithead. But you can see that Alan is struggling so badly with the makeup and the teeth and everything.
Oh, that really throws me out, is that you, as the viewer, don't hear his normal person voice, but you're hearing him struggle through the alien prosthetics and that. Mm. I really wish that they dubbed over that.
Yep, same. Yeah. It's one of the few bits, and I was like, oh man, I think this is a funny scene, but it feels uncomfortable because you can hear an actor struggling through, you know, prosthetic teeth.
Yeah,
and it's like,
ah, but just love it anyway. It's fun.
Oh, I do. Yeah, but the lisp is like.
Oh my God, your lisp!
Sorry, shit for brains.
Dear Alan, your lisp is terrible. Go back to being a chicken. Loved it.
So one of the things we mentioned earlier was the sequence with the cow.
Oh fuck. Now that was
a cheap joke.
Yes, but that is a turn.
It was
that
a cheap joke, but I was there for it.
That is a great turn to take where you don't know what you're watching. Like, it's come after, you know, oh, all I need to do is eat, yeah. But, you know,
it was consensual.
Yeah. And the next thing you see is an alien sucking on a cow's udder.
Cow's udder.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be really precise on that one.
Just specificity is key, I think, in this show. I mean, that's really funny, though, because you watch it going, no, don't do that. And then because you also don't know what the show is. Is the show going to go a horrific turn, or is it going to go a really dirty joke turn, or is it just going to be kind of wholesome joke, a little bit a la Northern Exposure? And that's why I think it keeps me on edge a little bit. And I'm like, okay. All right, I'm here for you. I'm here. And I'm sure Alan is game. He's game for a lot of different things. But also I just love him walking around being awkward.
I do feel like I think what you said earlier on, Pete, was very true, though. It is still struggling to find its own tone. Like, a lot of the time it doesn't know whether it's going to go for really broad comedy or trying to do you know, a little bit more nuanced stuff. And there are times when it's really, it feels unsure what it's trying to be. And I hope that it finds its feet or at least makes a decision, because at the moment I really feel like it's just kind of here, there and everywhere.
And there, you know, there can be strengths to that, I suppose, if it's all being done very much on purpose. And that's like kind of why I want to watch a bit more at this point, to kind of, you know, see where it lands a bit, because the comedy moments I'm enjoying, because they're very nicely performed and it is a great idea for a story. The drama moments are fine, but they are kind of very stock standard small town, you know, fish out of water drama storylines. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like super compelled by the more dramatic, the straight drama side of it at this point. Mm-hmm. Maybe when I get more connected to the characters, I will be. And what the crime procedural bit, I hate crime procedurals, so I could like leave that bit completely, to be honest. Dun, dun.
The mystery, dun, dun. The mystery's not doing anything for you?
Nah, don't care.
Did you? Well, and I feel like they kind of lose that a little bit too, because, like, you know, in the first episode, there's definitely a mystery as to who, you know, killed the doctor or whatever.
Yeah, they've kind of lost that thread now, though.
Yeah, and then they didn't pick it up, and so it's like, okay, now we're going to do Harry trying to avoid being caught, and that seems to be the main thing. But then there's this other thing of the alien technology in the mountains.
Yeah, but the thing with the body, did I kind of miss something? Because it just seemed to me, oh, you guys haven't watched episode 3, have you?
I have.
It just seemed to me that, like, suddenly at the beginning of that episode, there was this issue about, oh, I've got to find the body, but that it hadn't been mentioned in the previous episodes.
Mm.
And it just kind of came in as this, you know, oh, how was I supposed to know that was going to happen without much introduction? And I was like, oh, hang on, have I missed something?
But that was the
whole... I missed something about what this show is about?
That's the whole thing from the start. I don't understand how you missed that. He's literally out fishing when they come and find him, because he's trying to find the body that went into the lake so he can fish it out. And
I did not get that.
I didn't pick up on that either.
I thought it was just fishing.
Yes.
Is there a line that explains that?
Yeah.
Yes. Weird.
Okay, good.
He doesn't know how to fish. Desperate.
Yeah, it became more desperate in episode 3 when they found the foot that washed up.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. That's the reason that every episode started with him like out on the lake, or always flashes back to the fact that when they found him, he's like on the lake and they're like, hey, and they're like, oh, hello. Like, what are you doing here?
No, I missed that.
Total completely. Normal person.
No, I'm with you, Pete. That was a plot thread that I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're doing that.
Sounds like you guys need to watch a lot more sci-fi. It sounds like you guys need to watch a lot more sci-fi television, specifically all of their really poorly written and executed movies.
I will not hear a bad word about Mega Shark versus a Giant Octopus. Thank you very much.
But Tyrannosaurus Rex.
True.
Didn't they do the Sharknado movie?
They probably.
No, that was Asylum, wasn't it? I'm not getting into shit films.
Yeah, we'll be here all day. Maybe we will. Who knows? There is a bit. So, like, Jill, you were so, like, we're saying that there weren't really big cliffhangers to kind of keep you going up until the end of
episode 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. So, in episode 2, was it? We see these two hikers that come across the body of another hiker that met an untimely death in the mountains that was kind of floating on probably some weird alien device that is part of Harry's ship.
Which was an interesting one, because I was trying to work out how long he would have been there.
Same, because they're saying that it was 4 months of him like learning to be a human up until this point from when he crashed the ship. And that rate of decomposition seems to be a little bit too quick for 4 months, especially in freezing cold Colorado with ice. and all that kind of stuff. And also, how did the two birds die in that position?
Because the two birds were coming down.
They flew into the same floaty thing.
They were
going to
feed
back out
off him, and then they couldn't get out of it. And remember, it's the metal that he found in the mine where the 56 went down for the one, and then he made the thing and the thing and the other thing.
Yeah. So it's not just an anti-gravity thing. It seems to hold on to stuff.
No. Right? It's special metal.
But these two hikers turn up in episode 3 and are seemingly paranormal investigators and meet the guy who had his horse stolen by by Harry in a, what do you call it? In
a flashback?
Flashback, that's the word, yeah. But then it turns out that there's a little bit of a sinister plot line happening with these two hikers slash paranormal investigators when they murder the guy that's telling the story at the end of episode 3.
I knew it was going that way as soon as,
Sorry, Dion, spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, relax. It's one episode ahead.
Well, keep thanks. Now I don't
and
have to watch
like
that one.
It's not like we know why they did it, so it's not a huge spoiler.
Well, one might speculate that Harry is not the only alien that has a mission on Earth. One might speculate, but this isn't something that has been explicitly said.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that from the first episode, actually, that he's not going to be the only one on Earth.
No.
It's definitely getting interesting enough to want to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I haven't read the comic book. I do know that there's certain bits and bobs about it, though, because apparently the Men in Black turn up looking for him. So I'm waiting for, like, not the Men in Black because they're owned by Marvel. So
yeah.
got all excited then.
Yeah. You're not going to see
Agent J and Agent K, and it's a whole thing.
I got to say, Will Smith's not doing much, so hey, buddy. Just do that. Just turn back up in there. Get some street cred back. You can bring your son. He could be in there too. I'm looking forward to seeing all of more fun things, but also learning more about some of the characters would be nice.
And also looking ahead, there are a few people that are mentioned as being characters who are going to be showing up, and there is a pretty cool piece of casting that I mean, if you go to the Wikipedia, you'll see it, of somebody who is going to be a major player later on in the story, which is a nice bit of casting. Linda Hamilton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fresh from hunting Terminators.
Yeah. She's hunting aliens.
Hunting aliens. Yeah, well, why not?
And I think that's kind of cool because that gives it a kind of slightly more badass edge. And I could imagine that if they wanted to, they could, turn this into a bit of an action-y kind of thing, as well as a comedy, as well as a police procedural, as well as a family emotional drama. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Well, go and check it out. Or wait until the first season comes out.
Yeah.
And then go check it out.
Yeah, well, is that where we're at? Is that where we're all kind
That's
of feeling
probably
now?
Probably my recommendation. I mean, I'm not going to go weekly to watch this. I think I'll even wait till the whole thing comes out and start from number one again and go through.
Yeah, I could get behind that. Sorry, the chat is talking a lot about weird sex scenes at the moment.
When is the chat not talking about weird sex scenes? That's literally what they're there for.
The most depraved audience.
Yeah.
I also want to shout out to Rob, who on the Facebook mentioned, is this just Alan Tudyk auditioning to be Doctor Who? Do we feel that that's the case? Is this Alan?
Look, if they did an American spin-off, he'd be a shoo-in.
Totally see that.
He'd make a better companion. Controversial.
What kind of a doctor do you have who isn't going to be completely overridden by Alan Tudyk's weirdness?
Yeah.
Well,
unless he wasn't a human companion. Maybe he was
he could be the same alien. He could be this guy. Where is it written that Doctor Who
companions always have to be
have to be humans?
Yeah.
Why is that true? Why can't it just be a faceless orb? The orb.
Because marketing.
Yeah.
Love it.
He could be a master. He would be an amazing master.
Oh, he already is the master. He's the master because he's Mr. Nobody.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the master from Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Come on.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
He does make a good villain.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So that is Resident Alien. Mm. I think the general consensus is it's okay.
Yeah.
Wait and watch it all at the end.
Yeah, watch it if you want, or wait until it's all out.
Somebody did mention in the chat that there is a bit of a habit with sci-fi that they have a habit of cancelling shows quite quickly if they don't get the numbers, which is a tricky one because be why they're throwing everything at the wall so quickly.
I'm sure that Alan has never experienced that sort of thing before.
Yeah, thank you.
he's just going to be like, sure, next.
Yes. What was that? Oh, what was the Powerless, the DC TV show? So that's an 80 from the Outstanding Yak. Thank you very much. We'll put that one into the scores.
Sure.
And yes, they do have 6 episodes to go. So we've got a lot to get through.
We have been wrong before, though. I'll freely admit that. After 3 episodes, if we're not quite hooked, they could just have a significant ramp up and we come back at the end and go, oh, my God, it's better than Ted Lasso.
Cold day in hell, says Pete.
Yeah. Look, if I could find something that I wanted to rate 100, then everyone wins.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, I mean, we're all happy.
Better than Ted Lasso, Logan, and Justice League combined.
Oh no, it'll be the Snyder Cut. That'll be 100 for sure. Oh,
already, yes, without even having seen it, just the trailer alone, 100%.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing.
Oh dear.
Okay. We have had no mail this week, please get on it. Write us an email. We love your email.
The thread's been going off, and also the chat groups with the different things. The WandaVision one continues to be 100% proactive. So I'm like, yeah, there was a lot of discussion on the WandaVision.
I'm getting on that thread after the show on Friday.
It's
just screaming at each other, basically.
It is very, very entertaining. And I got to say, some of the theories that are coming out there are amazing. Some of them are fucking weird. Like, there are some very deep cuts in there that I'm like, what?
I saw a shoe that I recognized from this obscure panel in this comic book. And obviously that was written by Alan Moore's protege. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's a hay bale.
People are looking for things that may not particularly be there. But, you know. We're having fun with it.
Yeah. You're allowed to have fun. Like, don't let me stop you. Just go. Just do the deep dive. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
What are we doing next week? What should we talk about next week? Oh, that's right. It's a long-standing animated TV series.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I always throw that out.
Sam's doing Avatar by himself next week.
And I've got a clip for it right here.
I like the way that Casper is even like, ha, 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 fucking ha.
Yeah, makes Dion fuck you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Casper. We love you.
What are we doing, though? Someone tell me.
Space sweepers.
Yeah. We're going to be having a look at an interesting Korean science fiction comedy kind of thing.
It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
Was it Space Sweepers? Space Sweepers.
Sweepers.
So if
Spaces Weepers.
Can I reserve the right that if I get bored 20 minutes into Space Sweepers, I can just default to Ice Pirates and be happy?
Probably.
Does anyone watch Ice Pirates? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah?
Yep.
Jills? Peter? Yep. Nope. Cool. That may be, there we go. If you want to watch the updated Korean cool version of Space Sweepers, do that. Or if you want to go total retro 80s sci-fi, go watch Ice Pirates, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you've got some love in the chat there.
Yeah.
Some love for Ice Pirates. Oh, I'm pretty sure Ice Pirates is also on Netflix at the moment, so you can watch it straight afterwards and go, fuck me, that's terrible.
Yeah. Damn right. So they're all reviewing Space Sweepers and I'm doing Ice Pirates at the same time.
I'm also going to recommend, and this is not necessarily something we're going to be reviewing, but it's just my recommendation for the week. Mm-hmm. If you've got Amazon Prime, go and check out Greenland. Not a film that I was expecting to love, but it's Gerard Butler and Mirena Bakarin. So keeping the Firefly love going on.
And Gerard Butler wasn't in Firefly?
Yes, he was the ship.
Oh, yeah, of course he was. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he died at the end with that stabby thing through the... Oh, no, sorry, that was another guy. Yeah.
Someone else, some other no-name actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you are looking for an incredibly tense film about a thing that could very easily happen, like it's just, you know, an extinction level event with a asteroid or a comet, it's fucking terrifying. Really good, but terrifying.
So, I'd love to do a long form series just on natural disaster movies.
Oh, wow.
I thought that's just...
Can we pencil that in for maybe the extra podcast that we do or the extra Twitch
stream? I thought that's just reading the summary of the Kyoto Protocols. thanks, Pete. I feel validated by you. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I saw Gene Vanu gave us a rating too, but rated it in a way that I can't do the maths on. Gave it a 5 out of 7.
I did the math. It was around 71%.
71. Thanks. Thank you so much, Peter.
It's that good gag from the internet. You know,
yeah, I know.
5 out of 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, solid. Solid 5 out of 7. Thanks.
Oh, man.
I like Missy's thing. Films that wouldn't exist if not for this one stupid plot point. That's most films, let's be honest.
Wrong.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to try something a little bit different. This is the thing that they do on Twitch, and we did it right at the end of last time, but didn't tell anyone we were doing it.
Yep. So.
In fact, you didn't even tell me that we're doing it.
Yeah, we were just like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. Last time we threw you at our friend Hex, who actually has been on the show a few times. So this time we're going to, if you feel like sticking around, we're just going to use this stream to raid Barjo.
He's just chatting.
Yeah, he's just chatting. He's having a nice time. But before we do that, say thank you very, very much for joining us. We always appreciate you. You're lovely, lovely people.
Mm.
And you're very entertaining in the chat. You're very chatty tonight, and that's been amazing. I have been Quinny.
I've been Dion.
I've been Jill.
I've been Peter.
And we will see you very, very soon. Good night.
Good night. Oh, I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York. Oh. He's our hero of a day. It takes a man to suffer ignorance and smile. Be yourself, no matter what they say.
For listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch.
Until next time, stay awesome.